you have your Bible this morning, I'd like you to open up to the book of Luke, the 5th chapter, if you're on your phone or wherever you do it. Today I want to conclude our series on Firmly Rooted. We've been looking at major doctrines of the church. And again, we said not just to have a doctrine to say we have a doctrine, but that these things would be life to us, that we would live what we believe. And this morning we're going to talk on the subject of healing. And I want to look at the subject of healing. You know, it's important to know and understand what we believe about healing, what God's Word has said about healing. Again, just as a reminder, we do have notes for each of these lessons that if you've missed one along the way, you can stop by the Information Center and pick those up, take them home and study them and really get it into your heart and your spirit. But we need to know what the Word of God has to say concerning healing so that when you go to pray, you can pray with confidence. How many of you have ever prayed for God to heal you or someone else? Just about everybody. You know, it's so important that we come to God with confidence, that we approach God with understanding in our heart. You know, it's up to us to know what God's will is. It's up to us to understand God's plan for mankind. And there's so much we could say about the subject of healing. We could probably preach all year about it. But, you know, there's things that we could look at. How to pray for healing. How does healing come? Why do some people receive and some don't? How do we receive healing? How do we keep our healing? Why are people sick? Is it God's will for people to be healed? Again, there's a number of ways that we could look at the subject of healing. But this morning, I want to hone in on one aspect. And so it's not the full picture, but it's a piece. For the most part, I find that people don't have a hard time believing that God can heal. How many of you believe that God is a mighty God who could heal? Praise God, He is. He is. You know, most people don't struggle with that. But people do have a problem knowing that when they come to making it a little bit more personal. The problem comes in the application of that healing power in our own life. Will He do it for me? Is sometimes the question. Or what do I do to get Him to do it? That's another question that people have. Or is He willing? Will He do it for me? Is it what He wants to do? Is it His will? These are questions that I want to look at this morning and make crystal clear from the Word of God. These are questions that can bring despair and confusion to multitudes of people, but we know that we have the answer right here. The Word of God is the answer. The Word of God is the answer. We're going to look at Luke, the 5th chapter. Here we see Luke chapter 5, verse 12. It says, "And it happened when he was speaking of Jesus, and when he was in a certain city, that behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus. And he fell on his face and implored him, saying, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.'" Here again, we have a person who believed that God could heal. But notice what his question was. If you are willing, I know you have the power, I know you have the ability, I know that you have the strength, I know that you have the means to heal, but will you do it for me? Maybe you can relate to that. Maybe you've had times in prayer yourself where you've been on your knees and you earnestly need healing power in your life somewhere. Maybe this question comes to your mind. Hear the words of Jesus. Hear the response of Jesus. He put out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing." Let's just say that. I am willing. What did Jesus say? I am willing. He is willing. He is willing. Be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him. You know, some people will approach God with an uncertain heart. You know, the Bible says that when we come to God, we're supposed to come with boldness. It says to come boldly into the throne room, right? Doesn't it say that? come boldly into the throne room? How can we come boldly if we are uncertain? Did you ever drive somewhere? I know I've had this experience driving somewhere, and you're pulling up to a house, and you can't find the house number, and you're a little uncertain if it's the right house. And you go up to the door, and you're hoping that the right people are going to answer the door. Well, it's that idea. You're not going boldly because you're a little confused. And some people in their prayer life, they go to God like that. I hope, I need, I want, I hope this all works out. I hope you're listening. I hope you will. That's not being bold. Here Jesus said, I am willing. We need to have that same assurance when we pray. The Bible says God is no respecter of persons. What was God's will back in the day of Jesus is his will today. He hasn't changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe that healing is the will of God. Jesus said three words that settle all spiritual arguments, all theological debates. It overcomes all doctrines that justify and question the will of God concerning healing. He said, I am willing. I am willing. Did not Jesus come to express the will of his Father? Everything that he did in his earthly ministry, he said, I don't do it of my own. I have come to express the will of my Father. What he does, what he tells me to do, that's what I do. And so we see Jesus healing again and again and again. It must be his Father's will. You know, if you come questioning, Lord, if it be your will, if it be your will, if it be your will you heal me? You're coming questioning. There's no faith in that. You don't know. You're wondering. Maybe yes, maybe no. I hope so. I want to. And Romans tells us that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You can know the will of God concerning healing. You can know the will of God concerning healing. Just as you do for salvation. Do we wonder if God saves? Lord, if it's your will, if it's your will, could you save this person? If it's your will, could you save me? No, we don't pray that way concerning salvation. Why? Because we know the will of God. We've read it. We've heard it. We've established it. It is the will of God. Well, what if a person doesn't get saved? What if they don't get saved? Well, isn't there a choice of receiving that or not? Yeah, some of you know that. Yeah, it's the same with healing. What if someone doesn't get healed? There's some choices involved, meaning that not that they're choosing to be sick, but they're not receiving what is available. The verse here that we just read, that he is willing. He is willing. Is God willing to save? He is also willing to heal. We see throughout the scriptures again and again where God firmly establishes his will concerning healing. The book of Proverbs, the fourth chapter, talks about his word is medicine to our flesh. His word is medicine to our flesh. How many of you know what medicine does? It creates a healing process in you. His word is medicine to our flesh. Proverbs 18 talks about our spirit man. A strong spirit will sustain us in sickness. A strong spirit man will sustain you in sickness. You go back to Genesis, the first chapter, and see the original creation. God didn't create sickness and disease. You know, we read all about creation. In the beginning, God created male and female. He created the birds and the animals. Nowhere does it say that God created sickness and disease to plague mankind. That was not part of God's original plan. Nor is it part of God's future plan. There is no sickness and disease in heaven. There is no sickness and disease in heaven. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us the origin of sickness over in Romans, the 5th chapter. It says death entered through one man, Adam. And also life comes through the second Adam, which is Jesus. So we know that sickness and disease is not the plan of God for you. It's not the plan of God for me. It's not the plan of God. He is not trying to make you sick. He does not want you to be sick. He wants you to be well. He wants you to be whole. Over in Acts, the 10th chapter, really it calls sickness satanic oppression. That sickness is part of the devil's plan. How many of you remember the story of the woman who was bent over for 18 years? You can find that story in Luke, the 13th chapter. There was a woman who had been bent over for 18 years, and Jesus said that she had been bound with a spirit of infirmity, constant sickness. She was bound by Satan, Jesus said. She was bound by Satan for 18 years. And Jesus loosed her of that infirmity, of that sickness. And so we see that Jesus is for healing. He has come to set captives free. And he came to do the will of his Father. So we know that healing is God's will. Mark, the first chapter, we have the story of the leper, the same story that we just read. This is Mark's account. I want to just point out one thing in the verse there. Mark, the first chapter, verse 41, it says, "Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said, 'I am willing, be cleansed.'" Notice the word there. It says that Jesus was moved with compassion. We see in the scriptures that where people ask for the mercy of God, where people ask for the mercy of God, they received healing. How many are thankful that God is a merciful God? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. I think we need to begin to see God as a merciful God. See God as a merciful God, willing to heal. God shows mercy in many areas of our life. How many of you have ever done something dumb? Yeah, we've all done things dumb. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his mercy. You know, when we do things that are dumb, or we make financial stupid mistakes, or even sickness, his mercy is extended to us. You know, again, we could preach why people are sick. You know, there's many, many reasons. There's not one just cookie cutter answer for why people are sick. You know, the Bible says in John 10:10, "The thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly." We know that ultimately the enemy is behind sickness. But sometimes we can do things in our own self to make ourselves sick. How many of you have just had a day of eating and by the end of the day, you've eaten all the wrong things and you feel sick? Well, we can do things ourselves to make ourselves sick. But no matter what the issue is with sickness, thank God that there is mercy, that there is healing power available. You know, if we understand spiritual things, we know that we have authority over the enemy. We have power and authority over the enemy. You can have victory even in the midst of circumstances in your life, even in the midst of symptoms in your life. You can grab hold of the healing power of God. We don't want to leave an open door for the enemy by saying things that we shouldn't be saying. You know, people say things like, "Well, when I obey God, or when I give a testimony, or when I say something about God, you know, I get attacked by the enemy. The enemy comes and he makes messes in my life and he attacks me." Well, don't say those things. Why are you giving the enemy an open door in your life? You want to glorify God. We're supposed to live our life unto him. You should be saying things that God is working in my life. God is healing my body. God is strengthening me. God is giving me wisdom. I am an overcomer. We need to be speaking the word over ourselves, not glorifying the enemy's plans. If you got your life into a mess, there is hope for you. And I'm not just talking about sickness. If you've got your life in a mess, there is hope for you. If your finances, or if you're in an area of sin, or you've messed up things in your relationships, God is a God of hope. And His mercy hovers over your life. God is waiting to show you mercy. God is anxious to show you mercy. He is in a hurry to show you His mercy. God can fix things in your life. He can put things back together better than they ever were before. That's the kind of God we serve. The Bible says He is rich in mercy. We need to believe God and receive His mercy into our life. He is such a good God. He is full of compassion, full of mercy. When you sin and you step out of the boundaries of grace, His mercy is there to make up the difference. When you call out to Him and ask Him to forgive you, He is there right for you. His mercy. There's nothing that's too far gone or too broken beyond repair that God cannot fix. I want to encourage your heart this morning that there's nothing in your life that's beyond the help of God. Yeah, but you don't know, I've been struggling with this for years and I've had this kind of thing in my... It doesn't matter. God can fix it for you. God can fix it for you. If you come to Him and seek Him and press in, He will show you His mercy. You have to ask and call out to Him and He will answer you. Understand the Lord's compassion. The Lord's compassion opens the door for us to receive from Him. Psalm 145, verse 8 says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works." The Lord is good to all. Just say that. The Lord is good to all. Is the Lord good? Is the Lord good to all? Yes, He is. You know, if you're confused about that, you need to go back to the Word and renew your mind. If you're thinking that if you're in your thought life that God is not good, or that He's not good to you, you need to renew your mind according to the Word, because He is good. Get rid of those thoughts that God is not good. He is good. He is good. Look at the Lord's willingness to heal. During the earthly ministry of Jesus, He healed again and again and again. We see everywhere that He went, He was moved with compassion. Jesus was moved with compassion, and He healed. Listen to what it says in Acts, the 10th chapter, verse 38. It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went around doing good. There again, we see that word good. He went around doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with Him. What did Jesus say about sickness? That it was an oppression of the devil. And Jesus went around healing all who were oppressed. In Matthew, the 9th chapter, we have the story of the two blind men. Matthew chapter 9, Jesus had departed from one town and He entered another, and two blind men were following Him, and they kept crying out to Jesus. They said, "Son of David, Son of David, have mercy on us." They just kept following Jesus and calling out to Him. And so when He had come into the house, the men came in behind Him. And Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" And they said to Him, "Yes, Lord." There again, it goes back to the first question that we had. A lot of people don't have trouble believing that God is able to heal. But will He do it for you? Will He do it for someone you love? And then He touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." According to what you believe, let it be done. They believed that He had the power to do it. And so they were healed. Anyone who asked for mercy got healing. Isn't that interesting? Mercy is unearned, undeserved, unmerited. It's received by faith. It's not about how good you are or the things you've done good or bad or even how bad you are. It's not based on those things. Just like salvation. Salvation is not based on how good you've been or how hard you've tried. Salvation is a free gift. Healing is a gift from God that needs to be received. Remember Simon the sorcerer over in Acts, the 8th chapter? He was seeing Peter do these tremendous acts of God. And Simon the sorcerer wanted to buy that power from Peter. And Peter rebuked him and said, "You cannot buy the power of God. It's not for sale. The power flows through us because God has compassion on people. People say, I don't deserve to be healed. I've messed up my life. I've done all these things wrong. Well, that's absolutely right. You don't deserve healing in your own self. But thank God it's because of Jesus. It's because of Jesus you've been qualified. He made you righteous. He made you holy. And He has qualified you to share in the inheritance. God's love. Healing belongs to you. Mercy is not getting something you deserve and receiving something that you didn't pay for. You didn't deserve healing, and you didn't pay for healing. But nevertheless, it belongs to you because of God and His great love for you, that you can receive it. Psalm 86, verse 15 says, "You, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth." When you say it's not God's, when a person says it's not God's will to heal, it's saying that He will not show mercy to us. That's simply not true. That's simply not true. The Bible says again and again that He is a merciful God and that He desires to heal. He is the Father of mercies, the Bible says. Matthew 14, 14 says that Jesus was moved with compassion for them and healed their sicknesses. Think about it. The Bible says that there was a great multitude of people that came to Jesus. Think of the crowds that followed Jesus. There was a great multitude of people that came to Jesus. And it says that He was moved with compassion and He healed them. The word compassion doesn't mean just feel sorry for someone. The word compassion means that it moved him to action. Do you think that everyone in the multitude was worthy? You think about it a moment. There had to have been some unworthy people in that multitude. But how many of them got healed? The Bible says all. All of them got healed. He healed them all. He healed them all. He healed them all. He healed them all. I don't see anywhere in the scriptures where He qualified them to be healed. He healed them all. The drug addicts, the prostitutes, the thieves, the liars, the adulterers, the murderers. He got them all healed. They all came to Him and He got them healed. It was His mercy that covered all of that. It was His mercy that covered all of that. So sometimes I know people have thoughts when they come to God, and the enemy is quick to remind them of all their shortcomings. Well, you're not good enough. You're not this and you're not that, and you haven't gone to church this week, and you haven't spent time in the Word this week, and you're a bad prayer. You don't know how to pray. The enemy will whisper these lies to you. Just like that day there when the multitude came to Jesus, They readily received healing. You can do the same. You can do the same. He healed them all. We have to have faith in the mercy of God. His mercy will bring healing into your life. Let's just turn to Philippians. I want to read a story here. Philippians, the second chapter. This was a story. This was Paul writing to the church of Philippi, and he's talking about one of his co-laborers. In Philippians 2:25, it says, "Yet I considered it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and the one who ministered to my needs, since he was longing for all of you and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick, almost unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I have sorrow upon sorrow." So here we have Epaphroditus, a minister from the church at Philippi. He worked with Paul and was very sick. The Bible says that he had almost died. You know, you read this story and you think, well, why didn't Paul heal him? Healing comes from God. Healing comes from God and needs to be received. The Bible says that God had mercy, not only on Epaphroditus, but also on Paul. Mercy. Mercy. He didn't get some of the bad stuff he was supposed to get. Instead, he got the good stuff. He was shown mercy. That's the idea of mercy. It doesn't matter if you're around Paul or not, if you're in trouble or not. We can all get on our knees and cry out for the mercy of God. You can ask God to heal your body. And you can come to Him with confidence because you know the will of God. You know, when we pray for healing, we shouldn't be praying, "Lord, if it be thy will." People that don't know the will of God pray that way. I know what you're saying, that Jesus Himself prayed that way in the garden. Yes, He prayed that way in the garden concerning going to the cross. And notice what He said, "If it be your will, but nevertheless, not my will be done, but your will be done." There are different kinds of prayers. There are different things that you pray at different times. But concerning salvation, we don't pray, "Lord, if it be your will to save this person." Why? Because we know the will of God. We can pray and ask in faith, knowing that God is a God who saves. We can also pray and ask in faith concerning healing. Why? Because the Word says that it is His will for us to be whole and well. 1 Peter 2:24, "By His stripes we have been healed." Healing is part of the redemptive plan. We can pray and ask in faith, having confidence toward God that He is the healer. "Yeah, but that hasn't been my experience." Well, just because it's not your experience doesn't nullify truth. Just like salvation. I've been praying for this person to get saved and they're not getting saved. Well, they have something to say about that. They have to be open to receiving salvation. "Well, I've been praying for this person over here to get healed." Well, again, they have something to say about it. They have to be open to receiving the healing power of God in their life. And what does the Bible say? "My people perish for a lack of knowledge." People are ignorant sometimes of the Word of God, and they don't know some of these things. And because they don't know these things, they go without. We're not here to be judge and jury of why people are sick or even think bad thoughts of people that are sick. If people are sick, they need us to rally around them, to encourage them, to pray for them, to help them, to nurture them, and bring them back to a well state. We're not supposed to be judgmental. We're not supposed, "Well, where's your faith?" Or "Why aren't you praying and believing God?" Or, "Well, how come you have sickness? Maybe you have sin in your life." No, none of that is of God. No, that attitude is from the devil. And we're supposed to be, we are the body of Christ. We are on the same team. We're supposed to walk in love toward one another, encouraging each other, thrusting each other closer to God. We're supposed to pray for one another, speak the word to one another. So when someone gets sick, it's not the time to talk about why they're sick. It's the time to talk about the healing power of God. God is such a healer. God can heal you of this pain. God can heal you of this disease. God is greater than the situation you are in. God is able to deliver you. God is able to save you. God is able to raise you up out of that bed. God can do great things if you'll trust Him and ask Him and believe Him. Many times we get so focused on the need. We get focused on the need. I need healing. I need relief from this pain. I need God to take this away from me. I need. I want to be well. I want to be better. Right? That's not enough. That's not enough to get the job done. We're supposed to come to Him believing and magnifying Him. Lord, You are the healer. You are great. You are greater than the sickness in my body. You are greater than the symptoms in my body. You are greater than the pain in my body. And I thank You, Lord, that Your healing mercy hovers over my life. You desire to show Yourself merciful and compassionate. Lord, I thank You that Your healing power is at work in my body. I believe I have received Your healing power in my life. Just the same way as you take salvation is the same way that you take healing. You think about how you get saved. What does the Bible say in Romans? That when you confess the Lord Jesus, when you believe in your heart and say with your mouth, you are saved. How many of you wonder if you're saved? Maybe you did the first few weeks, right? I always tell the story, when I got saved as a young boy, I went up for every altar call they had. I just wanted to make sure. I wanted to make sure I was getting in. Right? But then there came a day where I didn't wonder anymore. They gave an altar call, and I was like, yeah, I'm good. I got that. I took that. I'm saved. Have I seen Jesus with my eyes? No. Have I heard His voice audibly? No. Do I see angels in front of me? No. I took it by faith. I took it according to His word. That the Bible says that if I'll confess with my mouth and believe in my heart, I shall be saved. I took that as truth. And I am saved. You can't talk me out of it. You can't change my mind about it. I believe it. And I have it. Well, the same way we can be about healing. How do we get salvation? We take it. Not that we're ripping it out of God's hand. God wanted to give it to us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So when I say take, we're not trying to wrestle something out of God's hand, because you know that would be a losing battle anyways. If God didn't want you to have something, you wouldn't have it. But no, we take it by faith. We take hold of it. What God gives, we have to take. The same is true about healing. God gives healing through the redemptive work of Jesus. But too many of us, we come to Him kind of, I need. No, we have to take hold of it. Just like you did salvation, it comes the same way. Just like you took hold of salvation, you take hold of healing. So when you pray, you should believe you get something. Isn't that what Mark 11, 23 and 24, we talked about that last week. That when you pray, you're to believe you have received, and it shall be yours. When you pray for healing, you have to know His will. Is it His will for me to live my life in pain? Is it His will for me to be sick? Is it His will for me to have a disease? Is it His will for me to have symptoms in my body? Now, you're not a bad person if you have those things happening to you. But thank God you have a place to go. You have a God who heals. The Bible says he's rich in compassion, full of mercy, full of mercy. You can call out to him as the healer and ask him to heal your body. And when you do, take it. Take it. Take it. What does that mean? Well, just like I did when I was little, when I got saved. After a point, I knew I was saved. So I stopped praying the salvation prayer. Why? Because I already had it. Why would I ask for something that I already have? Well, some of us are like that with healing. Lord, heal me, heal me, heal me, heal me, heal me, heal me. Lord, heal me, heal my body. Heal me, Lord, heal me, Lord. I need your healing power. Lord, heal me. I'm going to get, hello, call, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. Everybody pray, everybody pray, pray, pray. Heal me, heal me, heal me, heal me, heal me, heal me. There's going to come a point where you need to know the healing power of God has been given. And when that drops into your heart, just like that day when I heard the altar call for salvation, yeah, I got that. I got that. It's important to go back to the Word to renew your mind according to His will. It is God's will for you to be whole and well and sound. Some of us need to hear that again and again. We need to renew our mind that it is His will. We need to go back and read through the Gospels and see where Jesus healed them all. Anyone that came to Jesus and asked for healing, they got it. Even some that didn't ask. One of my favorite stories over in Mark, the 5th chapter, the woman with the issue of blood. She didn't ask Jesus. Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house, the synagogue ruler, going to heal his little daughter. And this woman, she made up her mind she was going to get a healing. She took it from Jesus. Go back and read the story in Mark 5. She took her healing from Jesus. Didn't ask him. She said, "If I might touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made well." She snuck up in the crowd. She pressed through the crowd. And she grabbed hold of the hem of his garment and was made whole. What did Jesus do? "Hey, hey, hey, who touched me? Who touched me?" Jesus didn't know who it was. She took it. She took it. And what did he say to her? "Daughter, your faith has made you well." She took it by faith. Well, if she could take it by faith, how about you? Do you understand the concept of taking it when you pray? There comes a point where you have to believe it. Either God's God or He's not. So what if I pray and I ask Him to heal me and I don't have an instantaneous change? Again, we could teach forever on this subject. There are different forms of healing. There's healing, the restoration process. There is miracles that are instantaneous. We all like the miracles. We all sometimes have a mentality for miracles. "Well, if I didn't get it instantly, I didn't get anything." Well, who said? The Bible says, "For those that believe, they shall lay their hands upon the sick, and they shall recover." How many know recovery is a process? No matter what kind of thing is going on in your life, you can believe God that His healing power is at work. We have the illustration of the fig tree in Mark 11. Jesus walked by the fig tree and he went over and looked to see if there was any figs and he cursed the fig tree from the root. The next day his disciples walking by and said, "Look, Master, the fig tree that you cursed is now withered." And Jesus said, "If you had faith, you could speak to the mountains." Right? Faith is small as a mustard seed. We have to know that God has healing power available for us. God wants you to be well. He wants you to be whole. He wants you to be sound. And just like that fig tree, the moment Jesus spoke to it, something went into that tree. Something went into that tree and began to dry it up from the roots. It didn't instantaneously wither and collapse and fall over. It began to wither from the roots. And it was visible the next day. We too, the moment you pray, the moment hands are laid on you, the moment you ask for prayer, believe that the healing power of God is at work in your body. Believe that it's in there working. When the enemy comes and lies to you and says that you didn't get anything. No, it's too late. It's too late. The healing power of God is already at work. It's already causing me to be healed, already causing me to be well, already at work in my body. You can't have it. You can't take it out. It's already in there. How many of you have a garden at home? Flowers, vegetables, anything? You know, when we water our plants at home, you know, the moment you pour the water on those plants, you can't get that water back. It's already working. It's already in there. You can't take it back. That's kind of how I see the healing power of God. When you ask, it goes into your life. And if you allow it to be in there, it'll continue to work and bring healing into your life. And the enemy can't take it from you. He can't steal it from you. It's in there, working. Before we go today, I want to pray for you. I want to take a moment and pray for your physical well-being. You might be sitting here today and say, well, I'm perfect. I don't have any sickness. I don't have any pain. I don't have anything wrong with me. Wonderful. I want you to think of someone else that could use something, if that's you. You know, we can pray and ask God to heal us. Yeah, but I prayed. I want you to put all your buts aside. I want you to put all those things aside. How many of you believe God can heal? Put your hand up for a minute. How many of you believe God can heal? Now put your hand down. How many of you believe that God can heal you? Hear the words of Jesus. I am willing. I am willing. That's to you this morning. He is willing that you could be healed. You know, there's authority in our words. The Bible says that when we're in need, we have to ask. Why do we have to ask? Because it releases our faith. It releases our faith when we ask. We're saying, God, I believe that you can do this, and I'm asking you to do it. And it gives God permission to intervene in our life. God needs your permission to bring healing. I know that sounds foreign to some of you. God needs your permission to bring healing into your life because he gave you a free will. And he cannot just do things for you randomly. He needs your permission. God's not going to violate your free will. God will never force himself on anybody. But you can invite him in through your words. You can invite healing power into your life. So we're going to pray. You can just take your hand and lay it on yourself. The Bible says, for those that believe, they shall lay their hands upon the sick and they shall recover. You're a believer, aren't you? Take your hand and lay it on yourself as a sign of faith that you're a believer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we take you at your word. Father, your word says, for those that believe, they shall lay their hands upon the sick and they shall recover. Father, we speak to every kind of sickness in the name of Jesus. Every kind of sickness, every kind of disease. Father, from beginning in the top of our heads, if there are any mental disorders, depression, anxiety, worry, fear, anything that's going on in our mind, our neurological system, Father, our skeletal system, our muscular system, our digestive system, Lord, any type of sickness or infirmity, we speak to it in the name of Jesus, and we command it to get out of our body. We speak over our organs, our heart, our lungs, our liver, over all our kidneys, over all of our organs in the name of Jesus. You function properly in the name of Jesus. You act and respond as you were created to. And I come against disease, anything that's been eating away at you or harmed you in any way. I speak full restoration. Anything that's broken or damaged or underdeveloped, we speak to you in the name of Jesus, and we command wholeness and soundness in the name of Jesus. We come against a spirit of infirmity, constant sickness in the name of Jesus, that things that have plagued you for years and years, we command them to go in Jesus' name. We come against lying symptoms, and we come against pain in the name of Jesus. We command that pain to go in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for complete restoration, complete wholeness, complete soundness, wellness in every way. We come against addictions that have contributed to bad habits and sickness in our body. We cut off the power of those things in the name of Jesus. Chronic health issues, in the name of Jesus, we break your power. We break your hold in the name of Jesus. And I loose the healing power of God. I loose the healing power of God to be manifest in every body, in every person in the name of Jesus. We drive out pain. We drive out infirmity. And we say it has no place in our physical bodies. And we speak wholeness and healing in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that we believe that this very moment, the healing process is beginning in our bodies. We take hold of it. We take hold of it. We are now possession of it. The healing power of God is working in our bodies. Just like water on a dry land, it cannot be taken up again. We allow it to be in our bodies. We allow it to saturate us. We allow it to saturate us and bring wholeness and wellness. Father, we thank you that it is your mercy. It is your mercy over our lives. It is your healing power over our lives. Oh, you're so kind and compassionate, full of mercy, that we can receive this morning. Father, we're going out of here changed. We're going out of here with a spiritual deposit of healing power in our bodies. And we thank you. We thank you, and we declare in the name of Jesus that we are whole, well, and sound in every way in Jesus' name. We cast down vain imaginations and every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We refuse to listen to the lies of the enemy that says we're sick and that we didn't get anything. Oh, we already got it. The word is already working. The power of God is already working in our bodies. And we are whole. We are well and sound in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Lift up both hands and give them thanks. Father, thank you for your healing. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your compassion. We receive it and take it now. Oh, we have it now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.